seated.
Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight, and open up to Acts chapter number 27 in the Word of God this evening. Acts chapter number 27 in the Word of God tonight. And once again, we do welcome you to Cross Point Baptist Church on a Wednesday evening. And I just want to thank all the parents and grandparents and moms and dads out there tonight who are so faithful to bring your kids to church on a Wednesday night. And I know that's not always easy, but I just want to commend you and thank you so much. I know at times trying to get homework finished and trying to get kids up from a nap and dads and moms just getting home from work, there is at times, I am sure, that thought of, you know, we could probably watch this via live stream tonight, or, you know, we could probably skip. It's been a while since we've done that. And I know on Wednesday nights we're tired, but I just want to tell you, I'm so thankful for those of you who are just faithful each and every week. Our kids it may seem like, I know tonight is, Kara, what's the dress up night tonight? It's workout. If you're visiting with us, we don't have a gym here at Cross Point Baptist Church. I know it may look like it, but we don't have a gym here at Cross Point. And so all of our workers walking in tonight, I was watching them, and they're all dressed up, you know, in gym outfits. And it's for our kids. It may look like, you know, they're just going to play and have fun, and they do. But I'm telling you, they are memorizing the Word of God. They are in the Word of God. Our teachers are so faithful. I study and giving them. And I'm telling you, if we're going to impact a generation, it's going to be impacted by us prioritizing what God prioritizes. And God prioritizes the local church. And so I know that at times we are tired, even on a Wednesday night. It's tough sometimes, especially it's a 7 o'clock, 7:19 right now. And we always try to get out at a great time. But I just want to thank you once again so much for being faithful. And for those of you, it's not that I looked around the auditorium, thought, well, somebody's probably watching via live stream. They should be here. I didn't see anybody like that, but maybe you are watching live stream and you should be here right now. Shame on you. Okay, so be here, and we want you to be here and want you to be involved. And if you can make it, when you can, try to be here. And tonight we're going to be in Acts chapter 27 once again. I've been here over the last several weeks. This is part 6 of this series, A Turbulent Journey. And so we want to look at Acts 27. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? We're going to look at this evening verse number 27 in the Word of God, Acts chapter number 27. Would you look with me at verse number 27? The Bible says this: "But when the 14th night was come," talking about a storm that they're in now, "as they were driven up and down Adria at midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country." And so this evening, we're going to start here in just a moment, looking at a turbulent journey once again. And you and I have been looking at this passage of Scripture kind of in a parallel term of where you and I are at today, living in the society and the culture and the family life, and even here in this county that you and I live in, kind of living these parallel lives here and applying it to us. Looking at the journey, this turbulent journey that Paul was on, and viewing it in light of the journey that you and I often face in our lives. And what I love about the Word of God each and every week, even as many of us have read these passages so many times, when you really begin to dig in, you'll see that it's so applicable for you and I. So this evening, over the last several weeks, we've looked at Paul's friends and Paul's warning, and tonight we're going to once again look at Paul's wreck and move past this passage of Scripture this evening, a turbulent journey in Paul's wreck. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, once again, for the faithfulness of your people. Thank you, Father, for those. I know, Lord, Wednesday nights are not always easy, but I'm so thankful that we have a midweek service here at Cross Point Baptist that we can dive into the Word of God. Or we can get some meat that we may need to get us through the rest of the week until we can once again meet here on Sunday. Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd give me the energy to preach this evening. I ask, Father, that you'd give me the words to say tonight. I ask, Savior, that I know the weather's been back and forth today, but I'm so thankful that you and your word are a constant in our life. It's something we can rely on. It's something, Father, that feeds our soul when we need to be fed. In a day and age where we live on social media, we live in the news, We live in this back and forth right now, Father. Even seems like cultural wars going on right now. But Lord, this back and forth, I'm thankful that we can put all of that to the side tonight. We can come into this house. We can gather. We can worship. We can praise. We can hear the preaching and teaching of your word. Father, we can fellowship. We don't have to worry, Father, about the garbage of this world. No, Father, we can take a deep breath in the Holy Spirit this evening. Help us to do that tonight, Father. We love you. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you would, look with me for just a moment. Back up several verses here in verse number 22. This is where we ended last week. And I want us to look at this verse and then move forward tonight. Verse number 23 of Acts chapter 27 here says this, "And there stood by me," Paul speaking to the men of the ship that's now been in this wreck day and night for several days, now heading into 2 weeks. He says, "For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying," verse number 24, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all of them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs," now listen to what he says here, "be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." You and I must comprehend, as the psalmist said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And you and I, when God gives us a task, when God gives us a plan for our life, just like he did with the Apostle Paul, he is going to equip you and I. He is going to give you and I what we need to carry out his will for our lives. That means this: you and I must trust him. In the day and age that you and I live, we are hurting the lost world around us. We are hurting the weak Christians by doubting God's word, by constantly concentrating on the negative or the down or the black spots of society right now, that darkness, that dark black cloud that's over. And we're all watching it on the news here lately, and it seems like it's really amazing that as you scroll social media, as you listen to even preachers around the globe, as you begin to tune in to the news channels, isn't it amazing how much, how many are doubting that we're ever going to come out of the mess that we're in right now? Can I say this? That you and I ought to understand the Word of God, realizing that we live in the last days, that we are not supposed to be concentrating on the storms of life, but you and I are to be concentrating on the very God that can bring us through these storms. And when you and I are down, and yes, we're down right now, but you and I may be out, it seems like life is just, well, it's just bringing storm after storm after storm. It does those around us no good to constantly be living in the negative. But what I love what Paul says here is, listen, I know we've been in storm for a long time. I know we probably should have never been sailing right now. I know it's scary. I know it looks like we're probably all going to die, but God says we're going to get through this storm. So he says, he puts it this way, "I believe God." And friend, you and I living today ought to do the same. It seems like we're putting a lot of trust in a lot of other things when we ought to just be trusting God and his word, realizing that we are at the end of the end of the end of the end of this dispensational period. Therefore, God very soon is going to come back. So let's not be concentrating on everything that the world or Satan is trying to throw our way. Let's believe God, put our trust once again in the Word of God, knowing that God is still in the saving business, that you and I, as the church, as the bride, have been commissioned to get the gospel out. Let's stop concentrating on all the nuances of today, and let's get back to believing what thus saith the Lord. Now look with me at verse number 26. "Howbeit we must cast upon a certain island." Paul's still speaking here. "But when the 14th night," now that's a long time, we're talking about 2 weeks now, "was come, and as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded, and found it 20 fathoms. So they're measuring now. Hey, how deep is the water here? And when they had gone a little bit further, they sound it again. And they're going to throw a rope overboard and they're going to bring it in. And found it 15 fathoms. That means this, the water is getting more shallow. Verse number 29. Then fearing, lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Now they're coming. They realize that, hey, it's getting more shallow. And, hey, they call out again, measure. We need another measurement. They throw the ropes overboard. Hey, bring it in real quick. They realize, hey, it's getting shallow. It's getting shallow really fast. So, therefore, they're not thinking that maybe they're coming up on shallow land, but they're thinking maybe they've come into rocks. And so, kind of in a panic, they're going to throw four anchors out, one on each side, the front and the rear of the boat. And this is going to stabilize the ship. Now, before we move past this, watch very carefully. At times, when our storm is raging, that means you and I, we can fight, we can work, we can seek, we can hide, we can even run for a time through the storm, the darkness that you and I are going to go through. But at some point, Christian, listen very carefully, family, watch now. There must come a time when we just surrender our bodies to Christ. There must come a time when we just surrender what you and I are going through. The storm, the heartache, the teenager, the young child, the marriage. There has to come a time when we say this, you know what? I'm going to drop everything. God, I'm putting it all out there. This ship, this boat, it is totally yours. They said this, we're going to drop anchor and we're going to sit right here. We don't know what the storm is going to do. We don't know if we're going to make it. We don't know if we're going to sink, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to drop it, and we're just going to let her go. We're going to sit right here. And friend, at times, when you and I are going through the storms of life, you and I must pause, and we must at times stop trying to seek all the answers. Oh, well, what are they saying? Oh, well, what does this say? Well, what do you think? Well, I think over here, and I think this. At times, friend, watch very carefully now. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. The psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. That means this, Christian, this evening, you're going through a storm in your life. Maybe everybody knows, or maybe no one knows internally what you're battling. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's whatever the case might be, fill in the blank. Let me put it this way, friend. You and I are never going to win trying to fight this storm on our own. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Friend, what storm are you going through right now? What did the doctor tell you today? What did the doctor say about your family this past week? What was that bill that came in the mail? What was it the spouse said just before coming to church tonight? What was it the teenager rolled their eyes and said? Friend, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter what you and I are going through. If we're going to try to be bullheaded, and I'm going to do it myself, and I'm okay, and I got this, and hey, leave me alone. I'm just telling you, friend, you and I are going to wreck our ship because there's a God in heaven saying, son, stop. Daughter, cut it out. I got this. Friend, in the world that we live in, isn't it amazing what you and I will go through until we will finally start seeking the God who wants to help you and I each and every day. The next time you and I, I'm not talking about our teenagers tonight, they're not in here. I'm not talking to our young kids tonight, they're not in here. I'm talking about you and I as Christian adults on a Wednesday evening. Next time you and I run into some kind of trouble, whether it's big or whether it's small, just begin to list how many people you and I talk to, or how many websites we look up, or how much research we do before you and I go to the very one we should have gone to first. Just look at how many people we're we're going to counsel with until you and I finally hit our knees and say, oh God, I've let out the anchors. I'm just going to let her go. Father, whatever you want with my life, whatever you want to do, Lord, I am humbling myself right now. God, get me through this storm. Friend, whatever sin you're struggling with, that you have fought over and over, you've been at the altar, you've sought help, you've been all over, you've done that. I'm just telling you, friend, the person who can help you and I overcome addiction is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But we got to let him have it. Casting all your care upon me, for I careth for you. Casting, give, throw it. It's his. Let him take care of it. Look at this next verse here in verse number 30. Watch what it says. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship. Now verse number 30, before we make fun of these guys, okay, would this not be most of us? I mean, now we're 15 fathoms out. Look, it's getting more shallow. Might not be as hard 2 weeks into this thing. Look, to be honest with you, probably most of us would have done this a week ago. They're saying this, we're close enough out. Let's just get out of the ship. Let's just jump. Let's just start getting these smaller ships. Let's start putting them down. Titanic's going down. Everybody, let's just overboard. That's what it's saying here, verse number 30. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, verse number 31, Paul said to the centurion, remember, the guy who's watching over him, and to the soldiers, there's a lot of other prisoners that are on this ship, except these, those who are about to jump, abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Now watch what the soldiers do. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Would you not do? These guys are about to jump over. Remember when I told you we should have sailed this? We do remember that, Paul. And remember the God that said, we're going to get through this. We do remember that. We're taking your word for it. Well, to be honest with you, gentlemen, I don't mean to be mean here, but if these guys get out of the ship, they're not going to be saved. Okay, well, here's what we're going to do, Paul. We're just going to go ahead and make them get back in, and to make sure that nobody just sails off, let's just go ahead and cut the ropes and they let the boat go. The boat that, the lifeboat, the boat that seemed to, look, this is going to be good. They can get away. This is their only option. Friend, let me put it this way and we read this story. When you and I are going through a hard time, just like verse number 30, those men, Satan will make it look like your only option is to bail. Hey, families, you listen to this tonight? For those of you in live stream, I want you to tune in for just a moment. When you and I are going through a storm, oftentimes it'll be Satan that'll put this scenario in front of us that looks like our only option is, you know what, I'm so tired of this storm, and I'm so tired of being hungry, and I'm so tired of being sick, and I'm so tired of going through this. My only option is to give up altogether. Friend, let me put it this way. When you and I are going through a hard time, when we're struggling once again, and the Lord's just putting this there, it's not that I know anything, but maybe with a teenager, or maybe with a college student, or maybe with a marriage, or maybe with finances, or maybe with health, or maybe with frustration with government, and frustration with what's taking place today. Whatever the storm may be, let me put it this way, friend. Do not bail on church. If you need to take a vacation from work, or if you need to take a vacation from some bad influences in your life, by all means, take a vacation from those things. But friend, when you and I are going through a hard time, the very place that you and I ought to be is in the local church with people who love each other, where the altars are open, where people are getting saved. Sunday night, we praise the Lord for Kayla who walked the aisle, and Miss Laura took her in a side room, and she received Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Somebody say amen right there. Friend, that's the kind of place that you and I ought to be, a place where God is exalted, a place where the Holy Spirit is working, a place where people are getting baptized and saying, I'm putting on a uniform, that I'm on God's team and I'm on His side, and a place that's focused not on the past and not what used to take place, but a local church that's focused on the future, and where kids are coming and getting saved and baptized and discipled. Friend, look, take a vacation from somewhere else, but you and I, don't we dare take a place from the Word of God. Don't we dare take a vacation from this place. This is the very place that you and I ought to be. You know what's so funny? I don't understand. Pastor Fo, really, I don't get it sometimes. Maybe I'm naive. But I don't understand people going through a storm. And they stop walking with God. Just quit on Him. They stop reading their Bible. They stop being faithful to church. You can almost see it. They stop serving. They stop witnessing. They stop giving to the Lord. They stop letting the Holy Spirit lead their life. And then when they're in the midst of the storm and the boat is sinking, they're at their wits' end, then it's, well, Pastor, you know, I just don't feel real connected to the church. No kidding, Sherlock. You got to be kidding me. But isn't that us? Friend, God forbid that be you and I. God forbid we get to a place where we start looking around, and we start getting depressed, and we start getting discouraged. Let me just tell you something, friend. I've said it over and over and over. Some people might hurt you, and it might be somebody in the local church that hurts you. But don't you give up on the local church. The local church is not about you, and it's not about this preacher. It's all about Jesus Christ. And the moment that you and I start saying, well, you know, I just don't really agree with that worship service. I just don't really approve of the worship service. Let me just tell you, friend, who really cares? We're not worshiping you. We're worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, friend. And the time that you and I come in and begin to think that it's all about us, or we start to get our eyes on this person and this person and this person, I'm just telling you, friend, we've gotten our eyes off of God. And if there was ever a time that America needed to put their eyes on something, it's not on a vaccine or Dr. Fauci or science or CNN or Fox News. Who cares what Major League Baseball is doing, friend? I want to know what the Bible says. I want to know how you and I are going to get through this storm. I want to know how I can raise my kids and my grandkids in a society that seems to be turning its back on God. And friend, I'm just telling you, if we keep focusing on each other, we are going to lose the mission that God's given you and I. These jackets seem to be getting a little hot here lately. Hope you don't mind. Understand, you and I have got to get our focus back on the one who can calm the waves. Because Satan is telling a younger generation, bail out, you don't need church. Bail out, you don't need God. Bail out. You know what your liberal professor said. You know what? Oh, let's just reason, and you know, let's just reason God right out of the equation. Friend, I'm just telling you, I'm not interested in what every liberal unsaved professor is teaching our kids and our college students, but I am interested in what is God saying today. When you look at the eyes of Jesus, you and I are going to meet grace. We get our eyes off of each other, and we get our eyes on Jesus, and when we begin to embrace who He is, when we embrace grace, when you and I see the nail prints in His hands and the fire in His eyes, We're going to begin to feel His relentless love for you and I. And it's not going to motivate us to bail out on what God has commissioned. It's going to motivate you and I not to cut the ropes not to get in the ship and to sail out and try something else. No, it's going to push you and I to stay exactly where God wants you and me. And that's in His arms, friend. In a day and age where people are getting away from God, I want to draw closer to Him. In a day and age where everybody's fighting over, well, should you wear a tie? Should you not wear a tie? Should it be a white shirt? Should it be a blue shirt? Well, should it be this? Or should you have pictures on the wall? Should it be this? I'm just telling you, friend, I'm not interested. You know why? Because our country is in a storm, and if you and I are just going to sit here and point our weapons at each other, friend, we are never going to charge the gates of hell, and that's what you and I ought to be doing. Who's with me tonight? Say amen. Well, I don't really know. If our teenagers, I just don't know what's wrong with our teenagers nowadays. I just don't know. You know, it's a different day and age. They're not like us. Wow. Carrie, how dare you and I sit back and look at our kids and just blame it on a different day and age. We're raising them. Uh-oh. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to say? I'm picking on my wife and I, okay? Is that what we do? It's everybody else's fault. Oh, the younger generation. Boy, it's the older generation. Boy, if they would have got their eyes off this, if they would have just done this different, if they would have just laid a different foundation. Friend, the foundation's been laid. Move on. An older generation. Well, I just don't understand this younger generation. Let me tell you something, friend. You and I cannot use the excuse anymore that we don't understand another generation. We better start understanding them because you and I have been commissioned to win them to the Lord. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't say to the woman, well, yeah, I just don't really understand them Samaritans. Mm-mm. Went right up to her. I don't really understand these tax collectors, you know. They're so weird. They're getting up in a tree. Hey, little dude, come down. We got some business at your house today. Aren't you glad that was our Savior? I think it's time for you and for me to start comprehending that we don't have to understand everything about an older generation, and we don't have to understand everything about a younger generation. Stop spending all of our time studying back and forth. If we're in a storm, which we are, let's get back to studying the very Word of God that's going to bring us through this storm. Then and only then is Crosspoint Baptist Church just going to explode in excitement for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then and only then. Hey guys, if these men get out, I'm just telling you, it's over. Guys, get in the ship. Let's cut the ropes. Now look at this at verse number 33. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat. Now they're going to eat, saying, this is the 14th day, and that ye have tarried and continued fasting. Like, they're not eating even on here. And have taken, watch the last word here, nothing. 2 weeks into this thing, they're not eating anything. I mean, you and I have to realize this is a dire situation. Now look at verse number 34. This is really amazing. Wherefore, I pray you, take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. Verse number 35. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Now watch right here. Now don't read on. Some of you are like, oh, I've never heard this story before. I'm going to get to it, okay? So just tune in for this moment. Don't miss this. And do you not find this a little bit humorous? The storm has not stopped. This is not Euroclodon. Remember the name of this storm? It doesn't have the weather like Indiana, where it's sunny and then it's snowing and then it's sleeting and it's raining.
And then everybody's out in shorts, and then you blink. He's like, Euroclydon's nothing like today. Euroclydon is dark, and it's a storm, and it's continued. 14 days now, they're in this mess. And Paul says, finally, we've been fasting. This is for your health, because we're going to find out in a minute that they're going to be swimming. So some of you guys are weak. You've been throwing up. You've been sick. I mean, 2 weeks, can you imagine not eating anything? I mean, this is awful. You think you and I are tired tonight? Let's go 2 weeks without eating and see how well we could jump out of a ship in a storm and swim. I mean, we miss like 14 minutes of eating. We're like, oh, Lord, I need something to eat right now. You know, and we want it. And here's Paul. But the amazing thing about this is that he gives them this food. And before they start eating, he thanks the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that funny that and when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. In the midst of a raging storm, Paul stops and begins to give thanks. One of the greatest things that you and I can do during a trial is to thank God for the good things in our life. Friend, there is not much good going on in the world today. We are in an absolute mess on our borders right now. I read that today, and this is not conspiracy theory, but they're talking about gasoline possibly doubling by this time next year. I don't know about you, but I think it's a little bit high right now. And I mean, good night. You imagine $5 a gallon? Be awful, wouldn't it? Some of us be really riding our bikes to church here. Yet the housing market could have a bubble in around November, December. Some are saying. You could ask others, but Steve Fulford, maybe Gloria and others who would know more about it, saying it's got to come to an end at some point, could bust. This trial that took place, this police officer from New York City, what a mess. Dividing our country. Police officer in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, yesterday, saved a young girl's life. And is it amazing the narrative that comes out? You say, oh, Pastor, you're preaching political here? No, I'm just saying. I could watch one news channel and I'm ready to lock the police officer up. I could watch another one thing. The man's an absolute hero. Who do you believe? This country trying to divide you and I have talked about it before. I'm not going to talk about it again, but let me just tell you, friend, that Christian or non-Christian, they're trying to divide us based on skin color. You don't believe it? It's a narrative. They're after you and I. They want me and George to hate each other. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Me and George have never looked at each other like, well, you're a black man, I'm a white man. No, we're brothers in Christ. Amen. We'll spend all of eternity together. Amen. That's the news. Isn't it great? Oh, it just makes you feel so good. I don't even know why we're listening to a preacher. We should just turn on old news channel tonight and just put on the news. It's a mess. Our country is in just shambles. Boy, isn't it? Isn't it almost, you ready for the word here? Depressing. You know what we need to do? Turn it off. Now, Pastor Defoe, me and you are amen in this, but there's a lot of people in here, they don't want to turn it off. Gary, you and I might be there a little bit. We like it. I want to know what's going on. But I'm here to tell you, the day that I start letting the news outlets affect who I am as a saved being is the day that TV or that iPad or that phone is getting out of my life altogether. Because I refuse to let anyone, excuse me, friend, determine who I am as a created being from God that has been bought with a price and is saved and going to live with him for all of eternity, including a religious crowd, including a religious circle, including someone's preferences or standards for my life. Excuse me, friend, I want the Word of God to direct who I am and my thought life. If you believe that tonight, say amen. But you know, even if we do really think about it, now just going back and say, oh, Pastor, that was so good. Can't we move on? No, I just want you to think about it for a moment. Even with everything that's going on in the world, with the trial yesterday and what took place at Columbus and, you know, the FedEx, the families that were affected up there at the FedEx plant this past week. And it's just awful. It's bad. It's back and forth. This, that. It's depressing. We're mad. We could argue. We could fight. And then COVID, you put all of that on top of it and all the mixed reviews and opinions. You just want to, if you have hair, you want to pull it out. And it's just, it's so frustrating. And yet, you know, to be honest with you, it's really not as bad as where Paul's at right now. 2 weeks without food, going back and forth on the sea. Everybody's going to die. He's in chains. He's in the bottom of the ship. No one's listening to him. I mean, look, we're me and Eric were talking before. We're tired tonight. We'd be tired, but let me put it this way. We're nothing to where Paul's at in this passage of Scripture. And yet, isn't it amazing that Paul says, here, guys, we got to eat. Everybody here, go ahead. You got to eat. You got to eat this. And before he eats, what does he do? You would think after 2 weeks, what do we do after missing a meal? We're not waiting on anybody, man. I mean, we're scarfing it down. No matter if it's salad or not, man, we're eating it up. We'll pray in a minute. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get it in. And Paul says, before we start, the Bible says that he thanked God. You know what the Bible says? In front of them. What did Paul have here? He had a testimony. See, you and I have a testimony. You and I walk into a restaurant. You ever seen somebody pray for their food before? What does that tell you and I? Oh, I must be a Christian. They have a testimony. I know that there are some that maybe they're not there in their faith yet, and they're not ready to kind of pray in front of, you know, other people that are around, kind of looking around, and it's the kind of prayer where you drop your napkin, you're like, dear Lord, thank you for this day. I got it. Okay, let's eat, you know. Here's Paul, he's not embarrassed. He's going to thank the Lord. Friend, if we would have taken the last hour and just put up ABC or CBS or CNN or Fox News or MSNBC, let's put them all up there tonight. You know, after we watch that, do you know that we could still get on our social media and have so much to praise God about? We're a testimony. Boy, everybody at my work, they just talk about this. And boy, they have their opinions. They're pulled here. They're pulled there. You know, what would happen if two people were in just a heated debate and they're going back and forth and this and that, and maybe they're even unsaved, and you just cut in and say, hey, guys, I got an opinion tonight. Yeah, go ahead and share. I just want to say, I praise the Lord. I'm so thankful I am a Christian and saved. Okay. Thank you, I guess. It's a testimony. I'm thankful for a lot of people at Cross Point Baptist Church that you're scrolling through, whether Instagram or Facebook. I am just so thankful for people that are constantly putting scripture verses, constantly praising God, constantly saying how thankful they are for whether it be a Christian school or a mentor in their life or what God's doing at Cross Point. I'm just here to tell you, friend, people scrolling through see that, and it's a testimony of what God is doing through you and I. If you're saved tonight, say amen. Let's be a witness to them. Let's be a witness. It was just on Tuesday, Pastor Dan and I were able to go down town and meet some of the senators and some of the members of Congress there. And as we're going around and, you know, we're shaking hands, we're getting to know folks. And then, praise the Lord, we were able to go to Brother Miller's office and see him and Miss Vicky and sit down with them. And you know what I really do appreciate? I don't think Brother Miller's here tonight, but I don't think he'd mind me sharing this. But Pastor Dan, what I really loved about even talking with Brother Miller is that he was not all doom and gloom. that he still talks about victories that are taking place. Because I think what Brother Miller realizes in a young pastor's life is that maybe I don't need to sit here and just unload on him. And we did. We talked about some things that are going on, some prayer requests. But you know what I loved about him is that there was a man, a generation above me, that began to, Pastor Dan, did he not? But you know what? Here's some good things that are taking place. It's a testimony to me that that's what I want to be. Oh, the storm, it's raging. Oh, man, I can't believe the soldiers just cut the ropes. We can't even get down now. What are we going to do? We're going to die. Here's some food. All right, fine, we'll eat. But hold on before you eat. Let's just thank God. For what? You ever feel like that? For what? Doesn't matter what CNN or Fox News says. He is still seated on the throne. Amen. Doesn't matter. Well, we're losing this. We're losing this. I'm telling you, Democrats, Republicans, we're losing. We're losing. We're losing. Revelation. Boop, boop, boop. We win. Am I encouraged? Yes. Why? That's our Lord. It's a storm. What are we going to do? Here's what we're going to do. We're just going to thank God. What do we thank God for? Well, friend, as bad as it is out there, I know there's a bunch of nuts out there. I heard it was Bobby Robertson down in North Carolina a long time ago that said, the gospel light attracts some weird bugs. And isn't that about the truth? An old preacher boy from North Carolina. Look, I know there's some really weird people out there, but I'm here to tell you, there's still a lot to thank God for and about. As I look around this room tonight, just naming them, I just thank God for the people that sit right here and are impacting other people's lives, including this man right here, all around the globe. I'm sorry, Brother Miller, you are here tonight. I just saw you and Vicky. Woo! Didn't say anything bad. Amen. Understand? I do. I didn't realize you were here this evening. But still, I am thankful for what God is doing right here at Cross Point. Let me tell you. Not, and I know I got to end. 7:59. Just give me one second here. On the nose, it's 7:59. So watch this. Not every church in Indianapolis area are having people walk the aisle and get saved. And God's meeting here. We ought to thank him for that. So a lot of churches gone a long time. There's a lot of cobwebs sitting up there. Poor Brother Brian's about lose the rest of his hair up there getting that thing ready each and every weekend, which we have two more this weekend. I forgot to tell Pastor Dan, but hey, it's my twins. They're getting baptized. Is that right, this weekend? I get excited now. Twins are going to be baptized this weekend. Understand this. There's a lot of cobwebs in good Baptist churches around the globe. But God's working here. Here's what we got to do. Thank him. Just thank him. I know we're in a storm and some of you might be struggling with a teenager, but you got a teenager. Praise the Lord for them. Work them, guide them, direct them, but thank God for them. Marriage, it's barely hanging on, but it's there. It's not over. Don't you call it quits. Don't you bail. Don't you get out. You stay in the boat. Let God take over. And don't zip your Bibles just yet, Brother Denny. I said I'm almost there. Okay. He's like, it's time to go. I'm just kidding, brother. All of a sudden, everybody's like opening their Bibles very slowly. I think it's time in the midst of this storm that America's in, that there is 300 people right here at Cross Point Baptist that we fill this area on social media with just thanking God for who he is. That's the gist of what I want to get through in this passage tonight. We'll continue here next Wednesday.